Hello everybody, I'm Sean and welcome back to the Croc Time Podcast, delivering weekly updates on markets and geopolitics, providing you with valuable insights and unique perspectives on events and trends shaping the world. Today's episode will look into the growing relationship between Southeast Asia and Japan. We will analyze how relations between the two have been improving in recent years and how they will evolve in the near term. Ready? Great. So let's cut to the chase. ASEAN is an economic and political organization of Southeast Asian countries and is made up of 10 countries, which include Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia, just to name a few. As these countries emerge onto the global stage, driven by rapid economic development, they are thrust into the global geopolitical competition between America and China. These two giants are competing heavily to sway Southeast Asian nations and convince them that the other superpower is pure evil. But ASEAN countries actually have another alternative to these two, and one that is much better, and that is none other than Japan. Relations between Japan and Southeast Asia have not always been good. Leading up to the Second World War, Imperial Japan spread death and destruction throughout the entire region. It is often forgotten among the horrors of the war, but the Japanese military killed between 3 and 10 million people in China, Korea, and Southeast Asia. Some historians claim the civilian death toll is much higher, at 10 to 30 million. In Singapore, the Suk Ching massacre killed between 50,000 and 90,000 people in 1942. The Manila massacre in the Philippines resulted in the death of 100,000 civilians in 1945. The list goes on and on. Even after the end of the war, lingering tensions remained. Anti-Japanese riots often broke out in Bangkok and Jakarta, even in the 1970s. From the 1950s onwards, Japan experienced exponential economic growth. Its new industries needed new markets for its goods. The country also wanted to improve its battered image abroad. In fact, Japan, even to this day, is very ashamed of its imperial history and the crimes committed. From the 1970s onwards, Japan looked to greatly improve relations with Southeast Asian countries, establishing relations with ASEAN in 1973. In 1977, Japan's Prime Minister, Fukuda Takeo, called for building equal partnerships with Southeast Asia based on heart-to-heart ties. This then turned into the Fukuda Doctrine, which described Japan's greater relations with the region. Since the establishment of relations, Japanese investments into the region have grown tremendously throughout the decades. Not even Japan's economic stagnation in the last 30 years has decreased these investments. In fact, in the past decade alone, Japan's FDI, or foreign direct investment into the region, has totaled $198 billion, just below America's $209 billion, but easily beating China's $106 billion. Japanese firms are ever present in the region, whether they are car makers, electronics, or infrastructure. Japan has emerged as a great source of capital, technology, and aid. Engagement between the two continues to grow stronger, and Japan's government plays an important role in mediating regional conflicts and building regional institutions. Southeast Asia has overlooked their history and views Japan as its most trusted outside partner. Japan's investments and aid have helped spur growth. Its international cooperation agencies provide training, expertise, and funding for a wide range of industries. Japan enjoys something that both America and China continue to fail to do, and that is long-term consistency, which represents a key pillar to build trust. Japanese diplomacy is often described as deferential, in great contrast to America's and China's preaching or pushy behavior. For example, Japan doesn't criticize human rights abuses. Japan is the largest shareholder of the Asian Development Bank, based in Manila in the Philippines, where they finance regional development projects. Japan has also played an important role in the region's two biggest trade deals. The country's anime and ramen has helped improve its image and gain soft power. The younger generations in Southeast Asia are especially drawn to Japan's culture and are more likely to view the country favorably. In recent years, we have constantly heard about China's Belt and Road Initiative with billions of dollars of infrastructure spending throughout the world. What we tend to forget, however, is Japan's importance in infrastructure investments throughout Southeast Asia, which easily outpaces China's. Manila's subway is being developed by Japanese engineers. Jakarta just opened a new Japan-backed railway. Japanese road sewage systems and power plants are ever-present throughout the region. What is really interesting is to notice how the relationship between Japan and ASEAN has changed in recent years. This is mostly due to China's rise. Let's explore this a bit deeper. Since 2010, Japan has started sensing new challenges in the region, and this is changing how it interacts with Southeast Asia. In fact, China's incredible growth over the past few decades has emboldened its ambitions. These ambitions extend to external territories, such as the South China Sea and Taiwan. China has not shied away from using economic levers to coerce opposing factions. In the early 2010s, political tensions between Japan and China were extremely high. In 2010, disputes over the Senkaku Islands, governed and controlled by Japan, led China to slash rare earth exports to Japan. The same thing happened in 2012. This served as a great wake-up call for Japan on China's greater ambitions. In its 2013 white paper, Japan called recent Chinese actions incompatible with international law, sparking outrage from China. Since Xi Jinping became China's leader in 2013, the country's assertiveness and nationalism has increased markedly and has often come into contrast with other countries. Japan's influential prime minister between 2012 and 2020, Shinzo Abe, had to confront China's rise and took a more proactive approach in regional security. He loosened regulations on its armed forces and its defense industry and increased engagement and cooperation with Southeast Asian countries. These changes extend to the situation today. Japan's current Prime Minister, Fumio Kishida, has further focused on improving ties with ASEAN. But the focus has now turned heavily to security. He just concluded a defense equipment transfer agreement with the Philippines, Malaysia, Vietnam, Thailand, Singapore, and Indonesia. Japan now builds boats for coast guards in the Philippines and Vietnam. Japan is also investing heavily to expand its own military. They are strengthening ties with America and improving relations with South Korea, which have been icy in recent decades. Southeast Asian countries are worried about Chinese expansionism and assertiveness as it continues to provoke coast guards and fishing vessels, especially in the South China Sea. When US Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan in 2022, China conducted precision missile strikes in the ocean near Taiwan, and 5 missiles landed in Japan's exclusive economic zone. This greatly worried Japan, leading them to focus even more on creating a web of agreements throughout the region. Mr. Kishida visited the Philippines in November of this year and launched talks on a closer defense collaboration. In the same month, Vietnam's president visited Tokyo and elevated the relationship to the strongest level ever. In a sign of the growing trust between the two sides, between December 16th and 18th of 2023, Fumio Kishida welcomed the leaders of ASEAN and East Timor to mark the 50th anniversary of dialogues. They signed a host of new agreements during the summit. It also represented a great show of strength to China. As the power dynamics in the region shift, Japan finds itself in a strong position to compete for influence in Southeast Asia. It seems that its decades-long investments have paid off. So, how could we describe the situation today? Well, even though many ASEAN countries have signed security and defense agreements with America, most members rely greatly on China for economic trade. They struggle to balance one against the other. Just to highlight how important China is for trade, in 2022, it stood at $722 billion, while trade with Japan was a mere $269 billion. While trade with China has grown tremendously, ASEAN countries view China with unease. Concerns over security, politics, and foreign meddling continue to mount. America, on the other hand, seems laser-focused on confronting China. But ASEAN countries don't want war or to anger China. They trade extensively with them, and cultural ties go back centuries. A quarter of Malaysia's population is ethnically Chinese. ASEAN countries are fed up with America's preaching style and the pressure they exert. They are happy to jump into security and defense agreements with the US, but mostly to hedge their bets and get some protection from China. Japan, on the other hand, is seen as a good, reliable, and trustworthy partner. Their decades-long cooperation continues to strengthen. It is no wonder that Southeast Asian countries are happy to do business and increase security cooperation with Japan. Japan has helped support their economic growth for decades. Hedging their bets with Japan is the best option for Southeast Asian countries in the next few decades, as tensions between China and America continue to mount. Thank you, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Croc Time. Please leave a review and follow me wherever you get your podcast, and I'll be back next time with more insightful research.